What is going on, beautiful people? Today, we're talking about six ways that a narcissist will enforce their will upon you. If you're new here, my name is Lee Hammack. I'm a clinically diagnosed narcissist, and welcome to another episode of The Narcissist Code. Welcome back, folks. Yes. I'm shooting in the car. I'm living in my car now. You guys got me. I'm kicked out. I'm living in my car. I'm just joking. I'm not living in the car. Just working on a book out here, y'all. I found solace writing my book in the car. If you want more information on the forthcoming book, click the link and join my newsletter. But yeah, six ways that a narcissistic person will try to punish you or enforce their will upon you. Six different ways. Yes, y'all, I know there are more ways. So if you can think of a way that I miss, because I know I'm going to miss some, drop it in the comment section. Your way, like, that can help other people out. You see what I'm saying? Like, understanding that space right there could help a lot of other people out within this dynamic and whatnot. So the first way is sleep deprivation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keeping you up at night, not allowing you to go to sleep. That's how a lot of narcissistic people will punish you. And they'll punish you and enforce their will upon you to try to get their way by just refusing to let you go to sleep. And sleep deprivation is known in some societies and some cultures as sleep torture, because that's what it is. Because people need sleep, right? You need sleep to survive. Human beings need sleep to live and thrive on, correct? So a lot of these times in a lot of these situations, that's how it goes. That's what needs to happen right there. You know what I mean? So just in these spaces, a lot of people deal with, like, you need to go to sleep. So if you're trying to hold a narcissist accountable, or you hurt their feelings, or they feel like they need to get their point across, they will refuse to let you go to sleep, especially if you got to get up in the morning to, you know, some of y'all might be night owls and just be like, bring it on. I'm not letting up. You know, but some of y'all have to get up and go to work in the morning. You have to get the kids ready for school in the morning. You have to get up and do stuff in the morning. Like, you can't afford to be sitting up here arguing. You got to be up at 6:30. You can't afford to be sitting up here at 3:45 a.m. fussing and fighting about a text message you saw on their phone. You see what I'm saying? It's just tough. That's one way that they do it, though. This is one of the more serious psychological and physical ways that they will do this to you. They will absolutely, like, run amok and doing this type of thing to you right here just to mess with you, to dominate your mind, to keep you going a certain type of way, to control you, to teach you a damn lesson, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean? Because that does happen quite a bit. I know a lot of y'all, you know, if sleep deprivation was used against you, where they kept you up at night, where you had a test in the morning, where you had to go to school in the morning, whatever you had to get up for. Well, even if you didn't have to get up, you were just tired. Even if you don't have to get up in the morning, a lot of people want to go to sleep. You still want to go to sleep, you know what I mean? You still want to get some sleep in, even if you don't have to work in the morning, to things like that. So I get that part of it as well, you know? So a lot of people, sorry, I'm sitting outside, it started raining. So a lot of people have to face this dynamic, have to face this type of, you know, mindset and this type of mentality, because it goes into it. So sleep deprivation is one. The next way, I have it written down, narcissistic rage. Sorry for saying, I don't know what that out. Narcissistic rage. If most people, not everybody, because not all narcissists will rage on you, just like not all narcissists will use the sleep deprivation technique. A lot of narcissists rage on you. The yelling, the screaming, the throwing things, the hitting themselves, they're trying to hit you, they're punching a hole in the wall, starting to break things, you know, threatening you. A lot of narcissistic people use this method right here because it's damn near tried and true. You know, they know anger, they know anger can, they, a lot of people can use anger to control. A lot of people, you can use anger to manipulate. A lot of people can use anger to keep you in place, to put you in place. You're afraid of that anger. You're afraid of that reaction. You won't do certain things, right? You won't do certain things because you're afraid of how that narcissistic person may react to you, correct? That happens too. That happens quite a bit within these spaces and within these dynamics. So yeah, that's something you have to run. That's something you have to think about as well. You know, the next way, silent treatment. The silent treatment is akin, it's almost the opposite of the narcissistic rage, right? Because silent treatment is them, they're just not talking to you. They might acknowledge your existence. They might see you and look at you and things like that. But they're just like damn near, they're not speaking to you. They're not communicating with you in any type of way. Even the necessary stuff. They're not even communicating the necessary things to you. I call the silent treatment, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person who's caused this. I call it silent rage. Because they're still mad as hell at you. They're just not exhibiting it in a different, in such a loud way. You know, silence can be loud, but they're not yelling and screaming at you. They're being super passive aggressive and just, you know, just like pretending that you don't exist type of stuff right there. You know, because the next mode, the next thing I'm going to talk about is ignoring you. Because ignoring you can be part of the silent treatment, but it leans more towards stonewalling. Like damn near acting like you don't exist at all. Stonewalling is when they just damn near, you are a ghost to them. You can be in the same house, they don't even acknowledge your existence. The silent treatment, sometimes they'll acknowledge your existence by making eye contact with you or something like that, just to let you know that they're doing it. Stonewalling is damn near pretending that you don't exist. Like your presence does not matter here. Like you don't exist. You might as well be Casper the Friendly Empath right here, because you don't exist to them within this space or outside of this space. That happens so much, right? That's one of the things that consistently happens a lot of the times within these dynamics, within these spaces. So that's what I'm just trying to tell people, like, keep it moving forward, to keep things going forward, to keep grinding. Like I say, yeah, look, even if they're giving you the silent treatment or if they're giving you stonewalling you or ignoring you, if you have to say something to them, write it down. Text it to them. Make sure you say it out loud, because that will be held against you later on, especially if it's something that they need to hear. Say it to them so you make sure that it is said, and don't expect an answer back, because they might not respond to you. They might not answer you back in any type of, you know, feasible way. So it's just like, this is new situations right here where you got to think about it from that perspective right there, from that way right there. Like, they might give you the silent treatment. You know what I mean? They might, like I said, they might be ignoring you or giving you the silent treatment, but just say what you need to say, because they can protect you later on. They might get mad and just try to say you didn't say it to them, but you didn't say it because they're being childish, but that's part of it. Just get it out. Make sure you text it. If it's something important, make sure you text it to them. Make sure they can see it or something. You said it out loud, you know, just to protect yourself. Like, even sometimes, if you do that, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, yeah. The next thing is withholding intimacy. Punishment time, no cheeks, no clapping of, thou shalt not clap thy cheeks, because thine is being held accountable for their actions, and those actions are holding me accountable. Those actions are making me feel small. Those actions that you've exhibited are making me feel a certain type of way. So this does happen too right here. They will withhold intimacy from you, you know. They will absolutely will. Like, they'll rev you up and just don't touch you. I'm not just talking about clapping of the cheeks. I'm talking about any type of intimacy, emotional or physical intimacy. They'll pretend like you don't exist in the bedroom or it just within any other type of relational space. Like, you don't exist to them within this dynamic. You don't exist to them within this space. Like, you're pretty much a damn a specter here, you know? Like, they'll treat you like it as well. Because this is a very warped mindset to be a narcissist sometimes, because they can and will destroy you a lot of the times, because they feel entitled to be doing this. They feel like this is part of the space that they fall into. This is part of the dynamic. They feel like they control you. They own you. They, you know, you belong to them in some way, shape or form. That's always going to be a part of it or a piece of it right there. You know? So that's why I try to tell people, try to commit to people that this is going to continue to happen. And my wife's friend just showed up. I'm out here in the rain. They don't see me, but yeah, that's part of it right there. So I tell people, just like, if they're withholding intimacy, like, I'm not saying that if they're not clapping your cheeks, they might be clapping somebody else's, but a lot of times that's how it goes, you know. they might be, you know, sleeping with somebody else. If you've been sleeping with them, like, if they're not sleeping with you, typically, they might be trying to sleep with somebody else. Just, I'll just put that out there for you right there to understand that. You know, and last but not least, exhaustion. They try to exhaust you by, to punish you. Let me go back real quick. Not only would they withhold intimacy, some of them will forcefully take intimacy from you. You know, and you know what I mean by that. Some of them will forcibly with to take the intimacy from you. They'll remove the, they'll take it from you. If they want it from you, they'll take it from you. That's another way they punish you or enforce their will on you. And that's horrible. Yeah, even if you're married, you're not their property. They can't just take it from you. You know what I mean? But last word, like I said, to exhaust you. They just won't leave you alone. They will just keep belittling you, keep just hammering away at you, keep beating you down emotionally or sometimes physically to get you to give in to their demands. Like, especially if y'all have broken up or there's no you've removed communication, they will just keep trying to pop up on you, to try to force this conversation with you. They'll keep reaching out to your parents or their own parents or whoever, your friends, your family members, to try to force a conversation with you. They will absolutely try to exhaust you into getting their needs met, whatever their needs are. It doesn't have to be, you know, actual needs. It can be financial needs. It can be housing needs. You might have an old narcissistic bum that's trying to exhaust you into giving them a place to live. They're trying to make you feel guilty in this dynamic right here, too, in this space. They want to make you feel guilty about certain things right there. You know, don't let them exhaust you. Like, they will make you tired. You're like, well, I'll just give in. I'm tired. It's easier to just give in to them, you know, because if they exhaust you one time and they know that it works, they'll keep going back to doing it again and again and again. Because why wouldn't they? You know, but anyway, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. I truly appreciate every single one of y'all, because as much as y'all learn from me, I promise you I'll learn even more from you. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We're climbing up to 500K. Thank you so much. Mental Illness is out. Peace. Thank you so much for making it to the end of my video. You are a mental healness rock star, and I appreciate you for being here. If you haven't already, make sure to click on the screen to subscribe to the channel and watch another one of my videos in my playlist. There's also a link available up here for you to purchase my kids' book, Remember It's Not Your Fault, on Amazon. So check that out. Thank you. I will see you in the next video. Peace.